This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome into hour number 3 of the G-Bag Nation on a back-to-sports Monday, believe it or not. It is definitely a back-to-sports Monday. You hear Chris Arnold riding shotgun.
Got you down.
Brian Broaddus is across the way. Well, they're across the way from each other, I believe.
We are.
Yeah.
Lucius
Alexander. 6 feet apart.
In the Pimp Cup. We're going around the NBA. The biggest news of the day, of course, is not NBA related. It's Cam Newton going to the Patriots and the Patriots being cheaters. We'll be on to that at around the NFL at 4:40. But around the NBA, you guys tell me if this thing isn't rigged, okay? You know how the NBA likes to do things. They get shady on you from time to time. I was looking at the schedules for all the teams remaining. The NBA season is going to resume on July 30th in the bubble.
What do you think about the murder birds?
The what?
The murder birds.
What's a murder bird?
The Pelicans.
The Pelicans? Oh,
that's
yeah.
What the murder birds.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
It's a Louisiana thing.
Did you just give them that name?
No, that's what they call them.
Really?
In the Pelicans.
A damn Pelican? A murder bird?
The murder birds.
Yeah, I can't do it, Mike. No. My imagination just won't let me do it. It won't let me do it.
The murder birds.
Did a Pelican earn that reputation?
Oh, if you ever watch a Pelican operate, you know why.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the state bird, by the way.
That is, on the flag.
Do they murder humans? Or like?
No, they watch them go in the water.
They get the fish, man.
They will go and get some fish.
They scoop out of a school of fish, right? Yeah, or do they actually catch a fish?
They could see, and they go, and they attack.
Okay. Did y'all see Finding Nemo?
Mine. Greedy Bell.
Great movie.
I did see, and I thought Finding Nemo was a quality flick.
It was.
I thought that was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a pelican's very tough.
No, me either.
I mean, you'd have to tell me.
Murder birds.
I might have to. Tomorrow at 2:40, might have to murder bird segment.
Well, I look forward to that, and I'm excited to have Lucius on the team. A pelican is not tough. We could beat up pelicans.
Yeah.
And I mean, I could beat up, what do they call them, a gaggle, a gang, a crew? What is it? What's a pelican in a group form?
How about a mob, because they're mafia?
I could beat up a mafia mob of pelicans. But yeah, so Zion plays for the Pelicans, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Zion is the hottest thing in the NBA right now, right? And what are the NBA standings right now? Is it Ja Morant's Grizzlies are in 8th place?
Yes.
And the Pelicans, I believe, are in 10th in the conference right now.
They're trying to get them home, aren't they?
And they are trying to get them home.
Yeah.
Now, I know the NBA said they're trying to keep the schedule kind of...
No, they're not.
They're doing their best to adhere to the remaining schedule before the shutdown, but with teams missing, they got to change things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Pelicans, they have the easiest schedule in the entire league.
There you go.
And they open the return of the season. They're putting Zion front and center to return the league, and they're trying to put him in the postseason.
Yep.
So, against the Lakers. LeBron versus Zion.
So here's what they're doing. They got a lot of ground to make.
By the way,
I don't think they can pull it off.
The Pelicans play well against the Lakers.
They sure did.
They line up and play well against them for some reason.
Because there's former Lakers on that squad. A bunch of Pelicans are former Lakers, and they have it out for
that does
LeBron.
Make sense.
Mm-hmm. LeBron traded a lot of them.
Yes, he did.
Now, okay, so... New Orleans, 3 of their 8 games are against current playoff teams. And, of course, one of those is the Grizzlies, who they're chasing for the final playoff spot. So they're giving them a shot at the Grizzlies, and they only have to play 2 other teams that are currently in the playoffs. One is the Jazz, who are going to be playing their first game since losing their second leading scorer to surgery. So they gave them one of the easiest playoff teams they could find. They gave him the team they have to catch, and they gave him the Clippers. So they have 1 game against the Clippers, 5 against teams not in the postseason, 1 against the team they want them to catch, and 1 against the playoff team that's the most depleted by losing their second leading scorer. They're trying to put Zion in the postseason.
You have a problem with this?
Ja Morant does not deserve this.
You have a problem with
this. Oh, they'll still give him Rookie of the Year, but they want them out.
Morant does not deserve this kind of treatment.
Are you going to watch Memphis or New Orleans play?
New Orleans.
Okay.
But Ja Morant does not deserve this.
What
has he done?
He's had a great season.
Rookie of the Year, but that's it.
Absolutely.
Good news is the Pelicans are 3.5 games behind the Grizzlies, so they'll have to go 6-2 or 7-1 and have the Grizzlies lose games.
Watch the referees.
The NBA is 100% giving Zion a chance to get to the postseason, and they want them to win. And this is rigged. Do you got how many
no,
of the NBA?
No, it's not rigged.
This is rigged.
It's not rigged, Jeffrey.
I did. Then
we
go
all
look at,
we all want to go see Zion play. We don't care anything about Memphis. I respect Morant, but I'm all about New Orleans, and maybe it's a little homerism here. But
hey, I grew up in Memphis, and I don't want to see Memphis.
There
in the
you
playoffs.
Go.
Oh, guys.
Hey, if Andre Iguodala didn't want to go there, then they're not good enough to be in the playoffs.
Well, the good news is, let me see here. Let me pull up the Grizzlies' schedule because I don't think theirs is super daunting. So I hear
Lakers,
I hereby,
Milwaukee.
Yeah. I hereby have adopted. Yeah, it's Clippers, Lakers
four
Milwaukee.
Times.
Back to back, Milwaukee.
Yeah. Yes.
And they're actually going to have to leave the bubble to play in L.A.
Right.
and work their way back to the bubble.
Yeah.
All right. So the Grizzlies' thing isn't working.
I give them credit for having a heck of a season that nobody saw coming, but come on. We know who we want to see.
I have hereby adopted the Grizzlies for the stretch run. Mm-hmm. I don't appreciate what they're doing.
You adopted them from 7 minutes ago? Is that what you've done?
Yes, from 7 minutes ago, I have adopted the Grizzlies, and the Grizzlies' schedule on the way out is Portland, San Antonio, the Pelicans, the Jazz, Thunder, Raptors, Celtics, Bucks. So that's
Raptors.
They set their schedule up. They were smart enough to play them against the Pelicans, so the Pelicans can jump over them.
Yeah.
That's a game right there.
I do want to point out that the Pelicans' easiest games are at the end, and that's when the Grizzlies' hardest games are. So I see you, Adam Silver.
I will be there. What are you talking about?
I see you, Adam Silver. You are not fooling me, Jeffrey.
No problems.
You are not fooling me.
Other
news.
By the way, the Mavericks have nothing. The Mavericks have nothing to do with that eighth spot. They would have to free fall and lose all of the games to fall out of the playoffs. They win one game, they're in. Yeah. They're like 4 or 5 games ahead of.
That's a story.
Memphis. So yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the Mavericks have nothing to do with the number 8 spot for those not keeping up.
Okay.
No, the Mavericks are going to be the 7 seed unless somebody absolutely tanks and the Mavericks dominate for their 8 games. They're going to be the 7 seed. Get ready for the Clippers.
Did you call 6-2 for the Mavs or 7-1?
5-3 or 6-2. One of those. But it won't be enough to catch anybody.
Okay.
No, it won't be enough.
Okay.
SI.com did the most important player for every Western Conference team, and not in the way of, oh, who's the best? The Lakers' most important player is LeBron and Luka's the Mavs. But from any unique angle that you can find. And for the L.A. Lakers, they put Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee, which is interesting because think about how big the Lakers are when LeBron's playing point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis is on the floor.
Ooh.
And Dwight Howard is on the floor.
Right.
In a league where it's turned into everybody spread out and just shoot bombs, at times they're running out. What is that, 6'8", 6'11", 6'11", give or take? And then sometimes JaVale McGee is the one that's in for Dwight Howard.
Mm-hmm.
Lakers are outscoring teams by 9 points per 100 possessions when Dwight Howard and LeBron James share the floor. 6 points per possession when Dwight Howard teams up with Anthony Davis. And the Lakers, by the way, they added J.R. Smith.
So if
any game is close at the end,
they're going to lose.
One guy won't know the score. You'll have to tell him during the break, like, J. hey, R. we're Spliff. Up, we're down, it's tied. You gotta let him know.
You know, it's interesting, though, what you're talking about, Jeff, and I remember the night, I think you and I were doing a show we were at the boat show, and we went out and watched basketball, had a couple of beverages afterwards. I think the Rockets were playing the Lakers in L.A., and that's the first night they went small ball. Or they went with their small lineup, and the Lakers didn't have an answer for them.
Yeah.
I mean, remember watching? I think we were sitting there like, my God, look how big the Lakers look. And it's like, well, there's nobody inside. And they're all the Lakers all kind of standing around grabbing rebounds. But at the end of the day, it was the Rockets' ability to light things up from the outside. So it's kind of funny we talk about how big they are. But then you get a team that played against them like that, and you're thinking, well, how are you going to – because everybody was saying, oh, there's no way. There's no way the Rockets are going to be able to win this game. And lo and behold,
well,
they
know
do.
What? That is why the Rockets are the wild card team in the entire NBA playoffs when the season resumes. And it's because normally, and I can't stand the Rockets, and I do not like Harden. I've been saying forever he doesn't show up in the playoffs. His legs usually go out on him the last couple of games when they need to advance to the finals or whatever. Because they call it user rating. Because he shoots so many times, he's still jacking up threes and they're bricking. So with this shorter schedule, the odds are they might actually go somewhere, this style of play, only because they've had the break and because he won't have the wear and tear like he normally does. And the same goes with Russell Westbrook. But I'm not pulling for the Rockets by any means, but you brought up that mismatch with the Lakers.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason.
It was kind of funny to see that bunch all pack it in there and not one red shirt down inside the paint at all.
I still don't trust Harden, though. He's not my guy.
Yeah.
A group of Pelicans is called a squadron, I'm told.
Oh, are they?
Yes.
I didn't know that. The murder birds.
Squad, put them in the coffin.
Mm-hmm. Squadron of – how many – does it have to be a squadron? Because I'm confident in saying hand-to-hand I could take a squadron of Pelicans.
Like six?
Yeah.
Sounds like a nice number. Yeah.
I think they might hit you in the face, kind of knock you down.
They got the real long beak
bills. Yeah, they got the scoop.
That you can put a fish off in
and
there.
I feel like you could grab one by that and just use him like as a hammer.
Oh, you're all about swinging another animal around to hit the other ones. I remember this now.
I don't know if I'm all about that.
No, that's what he does. He talks about this. I think I could grab one of them and hit the others with
as
the other
as long as they don't have thumbs.
Yeah.
The most important player for the Mavericks, according to SI, in the Western Conference playoffs, to me it was the
Curry.
Easy one. And they went, I guess, more obvious.
I was thinking Hardaway.
They went with KP.
Okay. Yeah,
because of
God, I hope so.
Well, yeah, but I mean, because of the difference between when he first got here and the stretch from the end of January to March, where he was a 28-11 guy, which is absurd.
Amazing what he did without Luke in the lineup.
Don't you feel pretty confident what you're getting from Luka when they start playing basketball again?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He'll be Luka.
Please be healthy.
The ankles. Hopefully his ankles
thumb,
are holding up.
Ankle,
but
let all that be
this
healthy.
This dude was the NBA of the EuroLeague. Excuse me, the MVP of the EuroLeague. And he led their team to the championship. So this is not pressure on him. But as far as those other guys working with him, that's the thing. And then Porzingis, as you mentioned before, he had a little injury back there in January. Yeah. But since he came back from that, where they didn't know what the deal was with his knee was, he's been lights out. And with Powell out and him rolling to the basket.
There were a couple of nights where you're watching, they said, well, this is a load management game. He's in there playing.
Yeah.
And you're going, all right, toughness. I like this. I'm seeing.
Look, the best thing in my eyes that happened to KP was Luka missing games.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeff. He found himself.
Figured it out.
Yep.
And now if they come back and KP is still that 28-11 guy.
Yes.
And Luka is what he is.
Please.
I mean, you're dangerous.
Yeah. Oh,
and if they come back and KP is the 19-7 guy every night and not as aggressive and not a focal point, then I think you're a different team. So I think he is a big wild card. But I like what you guys were saying. So give me your guy and make the case for your guy, the most important Maverick in the postseason.
Curry. Give me Curry. Give me a hot Curry. That's somebody that, you know, he comes off there and, you know, Luka finds a way, get the ball to him, he drives, kick out, boom, hitting threes, keeping the spacing. You know, allowing that. I think that's important. This offense, when you watch them play, the ball movement and then the way they're able to finish. And if they can get that thing going where that ball is going all around and then it finds somebody that can bang those threes. And I think that's Curry. I mean, he's proven to me that he can light them up when he has to. And I'm all for him if he can do it in these eight games, and then, you know, hopefully in a little bit of a playoff run.
Brian's right about Curry because he's been going back and forth the last couple of months when they were playing as being the most accurate three-point shooter
got
in NBA history.
Up, got a little
with,
banged up,
with
yeah.
It, with Steph Curry, they're like it's back and forth. Who's the most accurate three-point shooter in NBA history? And the Mavericks brought him back because of what he did at Portland in the playoffs. The yeah. playoff pressure made him even more dangerous in those corners.
I like it.
As far as Tim Hardaway Jr., he has turned into the most accurate catch-and-shoot two guard in the NBA this season. And it's because Carlisle put him with Luka, not have him with the second unit where he had to create his own shot. When all he has to do is catch and shoot it, Luka finds the sweet spot for him, and he is like high 40% in shooting, whether it's a three or a two, but mostly it's threes. One other little guy to keep an eye out on is J.J. Barea. You say, J.J., old J.J.?
Experience.
Remember this. Yeah, the experience. He's got playoff experience. He's got a ring. But more importantly, Carlisle never played him much during the regular season. But when he did, he was lights out. And everybody, why aren't I playing J.J.? Because he knows what he's got with J.J. He told me this yeah. himself. I know what I got with J.J. He's saving him for the playoffs. Well, here come the playoffs.
All right, there you go, around the NBA here in the G-Bag Nation. Coming up next, it's Jeff and Brian's segment of the day. And, Brian, what is that today?
I tell you what, we got some Cowboy questions I need answers from next.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. This segment of The Fan is brought to you by Franklin Frankel. Have you been injured in an accident with a work truck or 18-wheeler? Call 214-333-3333 or frankelfirm.com, Principal Office, Dallas, Texas. 420 every day is Jeff and Brian's segment of the day, and I am Jeff, and he is Brian.
Thank you.
And today he's got the segment of the day.
I appreciate that, Jeff. Hey, by the way, if I could circle back, you know, I asked about that Mike Leake, the pitcher from the Diamondbacks.
Yep.
I had a guy tell me from the Diamondbacks, he has a family member that has a significant illness that's not going to allow, condition that's not going to allow him. So he's decided that, we're moving on here. I'm not going to take a chance here. So I know we didn't have a reason why.
Right.
Well, that's the reason why. Family member has a significant illness. Okay. Thank you for giving me the segment here, Jeff. I do appreciate that. I've got some Cowboy questions for you guys. I've got questions, and hopefully there's some that we've thought about. Maybe some we haven't, but I'm going to make you guys answer a few questions, you know, and try and get your opinions on these if I could. Okay. Let me ask you this one, Chris Arnold. I'll start with you. How about this? More pressure on Kellen Moore or Mike Nolan?
I'm thinking Mike Nolan. I think Kellen Moore. Well, you know what? It's an interesting question because Kellen Moore wants to keep the plays. If he's not doing a great job, Mike McCarthy's going to take the play calling away from him. So he's got to do a great job. But I also think Mike McCarthy's going to let him do the things he wanted to do, like what he did last September, and all of a sudden Garrett got conservative in October. I think Kellen Moore is going to be able to get some freedom. I think Mike Nolan has a little bit more pressure because even though those guys probably want to do the things he wants to do and not have to stay in their gaps all the time, he's evolving a defense. And, you know, you got to get everybody on the same page. And then also, the fans probably won't be used to giving up those big plays because if you take those chances like he wants to do, you wind up giving plays. It's risk-reward. So I think he might have a little bit more pressure on him.
Much like Chris, I'm going to waffle on this a little bit, Brian.
Jeffrey, please don't waffle.
As I'm going to tell
you.
You
can't take my tap dance shoes. Come on.
No, don't waffle, Jeffrey. You don't waffle. You don't. You're better than this.
Okay. There's more pressure on Kellen Moore.
There you go.
So Mike Nolan... Mike Nolan's track record as a defensive coordinator is very up and down, mm-hmm. and it's been a while since he's been a coordinator, but everything's all over the map. How good they've been against the pass, the run, how many turnovers they get, everything, up and down. But this Cowboys offense, because of the way I'm going to talk about them and the way everybody else is going to talk about them and the amount of resources that are sunk into your left tackle, the number of draft picks that are fighting out left guard and center, the money at right guard, the money at right tackle, the money for Amari Cooper, third-round pick Gallup, first-round pick CeeDee Lamb, big contract Zeke, Dak Prescott franchise tag. All of your resources are on offense. So if offensively you are not dominant, if you're not a top-five offense in the NFL, you're going to have problems if you're Kellen Moore.
That's not waffling at all.
Yeah, but I did. I laid out a little something on Mike Nolan over here, and then I went with Mike.
I'll tell you what. I do like your answer, though, Chris. But, Jeff, I'm with you on this. I am totally – I think that there's so much expectations, high expectations on this offense. You know, I mean, and heck, you know, they'll put it on themselves. But the things when we talk about the Cowboy offense, the 40-burger offense, mm-hmm. you know, we talk yeah. about – you know, paying Dak Prescott. And Jeff,
oh, they're going to just blame Dak.
Jeff laid all that out. You know, the addition of CeeDee Lamb, you know, Amari Cooper. Heck, he's – I just learned today he's better. He's good against good defensive backs. You
How
know?
Come
I didn't know
the
that.
Ball to Pollard? What about
know,
Pollard?
Yeah, Tony Pollard. Yeah. You know, Gullis, I think Kellen Moore, because I don't see – I see maybe Mike McCarthy, if things don't go well on offense, I see him taking over the play calling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't see him saying, oh, well, hey, Mike Nolan, we're going to take over the defensive play calling from you here.
Mike McCarthy walks into the defensive room. I got it from here,
no,
boys.
No, not that, but maybe, you know, maybe get somebody else involved.
But on the other hand, Mike McCarthy's more aligned with Kellen Moore as far as creativity on offense.
I think.
Here's what I'm saying. Let me further my thought on this.
Yeah.
Last year, Jason Garrett knew that his job was on the line.
And but he still went with Kellen Moore.
They made him go with Kellen Moore.
Oh.
And so here's Garrett after October hit. Remember, the first month, they looked awesome. People can say that the teams they were playing sucked. Doesn't matter. They were still awesome. And then you go to New Orleans, where the stakes are higher, and Garrett's presence is, my job's on the line.
Threw the ball like 80 times.
I'm just saying that Jason Garrett pressured him, whereas Mike McCarthy's not going to give him the same kind of pressure because I think he's thinking the same creative ways.
All right. How about this one?
Mm-hmm.
Better chance for a road win. Seattle, Minnesota, Baltimore.
Jeff, you go first.
Go ahead, Jeffrey. Better chance for a
Minnesota.
Road win. Seattle, Minnesota, Baltimore.
Minnesota?
Minnesota, followed by Seattle, followed by Baltimore. Minnesota, I think, finally, like, they ran into their cap situation. So, for the people who the cap isn't real, look at what they have lost and what they're going to lose next year. The cap kind of caught up to them. So, I could see Minnesota being the worst team of that group. And I could see them taking a step back. And the good thing about Minnesota and Seattle, it doesn't apply to Baltimore, although it kind of applies to Baltimore. You just named three teams that want to really run the ball.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the difference is that one of them, the quarterback, will murder you.
He will.
So Baltimore, I think, will be the hardest one.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota offers you the least trouble in terms of they don't have the mobile quarterback. Stephon Diggs is gone. So I think Minnesota's your best chance. Seattle, Pete Carroll will give you a chance to win. Heck, I might predict them to go 2-1 in those games.
I was like that. I like that because the last thing I was going to ask is you got to tell me what the record is going to be. 2-1, Jeffrey?
It'll be 1-2 or 2-1. I'll go 2-1. I'll say they beat Seattle and Minnesota on the road.
Maybe,
God, maybe, what a homer.
Maybe no crowd, too.
I'm gonna,
two places, maybe no crowd.
I'm going to go, yeah, exactly. Seattle doesn't have a home crowd to worry about that 12th man that they borrowed from A&M. I'm going to go with Jeff on the record, homerism, but I'm going to say Baltimore is the toughest with Minnesota being the second toughest. It's not because of the quarterback. It's because I think Mike knows how to beat the Cowboys. He knows how to counteract all the other different things that they do. And I just think that the Cowboys over the last 4 years have had a better – they've played Seattle better. So I think that makes Seattle the easiest team. Baltimore, that not only is the offense really good, but their defense is just so good.
I hate to upset you guys, but they're going to get a win at Baltimore.
They're going to get a win at Baltimore.
On their way to 10-6, they're going to get a win at Baltimore.
Okay, so RG3 is going to start for Baltimore.
No. The Cowboys are going to go to Baltimore, and they're going to get a win. Now, I don't see them winning at Seattle. Is the one I don't
really.
See. I don't. I think they beat Minnesota. I think they beat Baltimore, but I do not see them beating
with
Seattle.
With half a crowd there or nobody at all.
I just think it's going to be a long, hard trip for them.
Oh, the flight?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a long, hard trip, and it might be, you know, one of those things you're going to have to deal with a little wear and tear along the road.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say they were going to get a win against Baltimore. They're going to beat the Vikings, and they're going to lose to Seattle. Okay? How about that? Okay. Jeffrey.
Huh?
When I see this offense, okay, excuse me. When I see this.
CeeDee Lamb.
No. Listen. When I see this on offense, I know that things will be fine.
When I see this on offense.
When I see this on offense, I know things will be fine.
Only one tight end. When I see on
thank
offense,
God you can't figure the play out. Thank God we're not getting a
when
box,
I see them line up
box.
When yeah. I see them line
12
up,
package is gone.
Every single down with Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper, and CeeDee Lamb on the field.
90% 11 personnel. Is that what you're saying?
100%.
Oh, okay.
Then I will know that everything is fine. If every once in a while. See, here's what it has to be. Gallup, Cooper, Lamb, Jarwin, Zeke, Pollard. That's one player too many. So between Jarwin.
I was wondering if we were CFL now.
Yeah, so counting. Between Jarwin, Zeke, and Pollard, go ahead and mix that up. Ooh. Once in a while, don't have Jarwin out there and run Ooh. Two backs. Ooh. Once in a while, have Pollard for Zeke. Once in a while, you know, mix those guys
I
up
like it.
As the last piece. And everything will be fine. So if Kellen Moore doesn't do a good job this year, hire me. I'll put the right guys on the field. I just need somebody to tell me how the blocking schemes work. I'll need a helper, but I got you.
You got a helper. We'll get you a helper.
Okay, so Jeff likes the 11 personnel.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you what makes me feel comfortable on offense. When I see pre-snap motion.
Okay.
Then I'm saying, Movement. Okay, good. The defense doesn't know exactly what might happen. That's what makes me feel good.
I'll tell you what. Give me some stability with that offensive line. Who's ever playing center?
Same guys.
Who's ever playing
guard? Healthy.
If I see protection and an occasional, you know, second level run block, that'll make me feel a lot better. I'm not worried about these skill guys. I think you guys painted a pretty good picture for me.
You know what I want to see, Brian?
What's that?
I want to see Tyler Biadasz win the center job outright.
Ooh, badass!
And I want to see Connor McGovern win the left guard job.
Look at you.
That's what I want to see.
Look at you. That's.
I don't know if they have enough time to win jobs with however much time they'll have to get ready for the season.
Yeah.
But to me, that's best case scenario because those are the two names that give you the most hope.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. Chris Arnold.
Yes, sir.
I need this cornerback to play over his head.
Diggs. Only because of the lack of experience factor. He's a rookie, but I think he's got all the, you know, the traits. All the intangibles, all the measurables. I want him to play over his head because they will be picking on the rookie until he proves otherwise.
Okay.
That's why I'm picking him. There's other guys I could choose, but I'm looking at Diggs because, you know, Byron Jones is gone, and all offensive coordinators test the rookie first.
Jeff Kavanaugh.
I'm between Cheeto and Jordan Lewis. I'm going to go Lewis. The way you phrased the question made me want to say Cheeto as a joke.
He's a safety.
Because you said play over his head, and when his back's to the ball and the ball goes over his head, he's terrible at it.
You like my play on words there, huh?
But Jordan Lewis, because if he can win the slot job, which they haven't let him so far, I don't know if he's outplayed Brown or not, but they've never let him because he was too tiny for Chris Richard. But if he's able to win that job, I think that he's the kind of guy that makes plays on the ball. Brian, you love the toughness and the confidence he plays with. As a blitzer, he's outstanding. As a my ball mentality guy, I like the aggressiveness. I think he fits what they say they want. They want turnovers. They want to be disruptive. That's your dude. Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, I like what you're saying. I'm with Chris on this, Diggs. Yeah, and I'm a Jordan Lewis fan, but I need Diggs. I need Diggs to start.
Yep.
I really do.
Yep.
I need him to start. Okay, my last question for you guys.
He's turning against me.
I know. The player that I'm too high on that has a chance to make me look foolish.
Again, well, I put CeeDee Lamb in the Hall of Fame.
The player that I'm too high on that has a chance to make me look foolish.
I will go, who am I too high on? I'll go DeMarcus Lawrence because if he has 5 sacks this year, I'll look like an idiot because I'm telling people, and I'm right about this, he was really good last year.
Mm-hmm.
Sack total wasn't, but he was really good. And if he's not able to sack the quarterback more often than he did this year, I still won't be wrong because he'll still be really good, but people will talk crazy to me, and I don't look forward to that.
Chris Arnold.
It's a toss-up between Aldon Smith and Tony Pollard. I want Tony Pollard to be the great guy, the great change of pace back, and he looked at it in moments, and he had, what, two games of over 100 yards. He and Zeke both had 100 yards each. But there were a couple of times where he looked like a rookie out there, and I'm just hoping that was just rookiness and not that he doesn't know what he's doing. So Tony Pollard and Aldon Smith only because I was like, dude, this guy seems to have his act together. So it's a coin flip because Aldon Smith, if he's playing the way he should play more snaps than Tony Pollard.
Blake Jarwin is my guy.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I also have to throw Dak in there since I'm the biggest Dak supporter on the station.
Yeah, you are the very supportive. But yeah, I
support you on that, Jeff.
I think that to me, if you look at the tight end, I need Blake Jarwin. I've talked about him attacking the middle of the field, getting down the field, making plays, getting all those targets, Jeff, trying to get him 100, right? Something like that.
I'm trying to get CD 100.
Yeah, trying to get CD 100. Yeah.
Well, you don't want to hear anybody say, "Oh, if Witten were here."
Yeah. But
if we were here, we could have gotten 3 yards on that pass.
Yep. That is it. Well, thank you, boys, for answering my questions. Good stuff, appreciate man. You.
Great
All
stuff.
Right. Jeff and Brian's segment of the day, every day at 4:20. Coming up next, we'll go around the NFL and the G-Bag Nation. Thank you, Lucius, and welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Every day at this time, we go around the NFL.
That ain't working.
And
that's the way you do it. You pick up your guitar on that MTV.
Mm-hmm. We
that's
go around the NFL.
The way you do it.
Okay, we're my going around the NFL.
What the hell? Oh, my God.
Like I'm playing cards with my sister's kids or something. Goodness gracious. Cam Newton's a Patriot. 1-year deal that is, quote, bare minimum with the ability to make $7.5 million. He'll make the $7.5 million. Guys,
Power through.
540 is when you openly disrespect my time.
Okay.
Not 440.
Okay.
540.
Sorry, Jeff.
Cam Newton's a Patriot. New England swooping in to sign him 16 minutes after they had been busted for Spygate 2.0. They signed Cam Newton. So question number one for you guys. If Cam Newton is healthy, how many games the Patriots win?
The Vegas odds say 8.5, and they say once they signed him, the odds still didn't move. So 8.5. I think they could win 10 if he's healthy.
Yeah, I think that to me that, you know, but the Patriots, we talked about this earlier, Jeff, and you brought it up. This is the first time they've had the toughest schedule in a long time, I guess. I don't know the number of years or anything like that, but, you know, they with Tom Brady, they never had it this difficult.
They got the Seahawks, they got the Chiefs, they got the Niners, they got the Ravens, they got the Texans, they got
Bills
the
twice.
Rams, Bills twice.
Miami's no joke.
Toughest schedule they've had in a really long time.
Yeah.
But I can't believe the over-under wouldn't move.
Didn't move.
Signing Cam Newton didn't move it
at all. And they don't have him as the favorite to be the starter either. They got him barely behind.
Hold on. I need to place the largest wager of all time. Behind Jarrett Stidham?
Yeah.
Stidham. Jarrett Stidham, if you're listening right now, bet.
Well, this is for game one. They didn't say the whole season. It said game one starter.
Bet. Jarrett Stidham is not starting a game unless Cam Newton's hurt. I promise. No one is running out a bad Auburn quarterback. I don't care how many times Belichick or whoever else inside that organization is telling people, we believe in this Stidham kid. He's really good. No, they don't. Or they wouldn't have signed Cam Newton.
Right.
Like every team had the option to sign Cam Newton, but it took a very specific team. A team that needed a starter. That was the Patriots because they need a starter. Cam's starting. Every game, until he gets hurt, if he gets hurt.
Yeah.
All right, how about that?
Yeah, I think the thing with Stidham. Yeah, I just don't. You know, I was talking to Mike Lombardi about it this morning, you know, and him and Bill are really good friends.
And Bill sold him that they really like Stidham.
Well, Bill's like, yeah, I guess everybody thinks we're tanking, right? You know, and you're not tanking. You're trying to win with Cam Newton at quarterback. Yeah, I just think, though, we'll see. And Josh McDaniels, this could be huge for him because Josh McDaniels is trying to think, okay, what's my next move to become a head coach again? And, okay,
maybe don't back out of the next job that you
have? Well, no, and that's true. That's absolutely true. But, you know, maybe it's the right job for him. But this could be one of those times where all of a sudden they have some success with Cam Newton. You know, they don't have Tom Brady, and lo and behold, here we go. You know, so, yeah, this is an important year. So he's going to do everything in his power to get Cam Newton going and get those wins that they need. And it could help him down the road to get that job that he's looking for.
The question about the Patriots, I think it's just going to come down to how much can you get out of that receiving core? How much can you get out of Mohamed Sanu, Julian Edelman, and N'Keal Harry, which most people are going to view as one of the worst receiving cores in the league? What can you get out of that? And Cam's been good with bad receiving cores before. Cam's been good when Kelvin Benjamin was his best receiver. Or really, it was Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
But like, Cam's been good without a good receiving core before. But is he healthy? And how do those receivers play? Can they get open? I'm with Chris. If you promise me Cam plays 16 games, I think they'll win 10.
Yep.
I would like to believe that, too. I think this looks very much like receiver by committee, what the Cowboys went through. So, you know, they're going to have to make some type of move to say, you mean to add somebody, to trade for, you know, trade, whatever you have to do, claim. You know, whatever, you're going to have to find a way to probably get one more guy in there that can really help. They really need a tight end.
Oh, for sure.
They really, really need a tight end to work that middle of the field for them.
But the bad part is they've already used the resources, right? Like, it just goes to, we think everything that New England does is perfect. They gave up a 2 for Mohamed Sanu, which looks like a terrible trade. They used a 1 on N'Keal Harry, who couldn't get open in college, and Edelman is paid. But they have one of the worst receiving cores in the league. And it's like everything they do is not perfect. They just get really good results.
I wonder if they're going to be in the mode to try and get one of those tight ends from Tampa. Are they going to get in on the O.J. Howard? Are they going to be the team that swings for an O.J. Howard deal?
Wouldn't you have already done it? Because you had to let Gronk go there. So wouldn't O.J. Howard been a part of that and you would have made it work?
Yeah, and maybe now you can, you know, Jason Like, who's the general manager there, maybe he just rolls over when Bill calls him up. Jason.
Well, NFL rolls over for Bill.
That's what I'm saying. So that, you know, Jason might just roll over and give him O.J. Howard. So we'll see.
Okay, second down, here's Brian Broaddus.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Appreciate that. NFL.com has a thing called Pipelines to the Pros. Have you guys heard anything about this at all?
I have not. Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's the series they're having that explores which schools put the best players or provide the most players to the NFL. And the first position they do is quarterbacks. And this is over the last 20 years. And the top 10.
Quarterbacks.
Top 10. Would you guys like to guess? I won't make you guess, you know, all of them, but would you like to guess?
Missouri's actually put a few in the league.
This is the last 20 years we're thinking about here.
This century.
Yeah.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma would be number 2. In this list, that would be Sam Bradford, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Landry Jones, Jalen Hurts, Josh Heupel would be the quarterbacks that have been put in the league. That would make them number 2. Number 1 would be the Trojans of USC.
Okay.
Sam Darnold.
Well, they have Mark Sanchez, Carson Palmer, Sam Darnold, Matt Leinart, Matt Castle, Cody Kessler, our favorite, Jeff.
Not a great hit rate here.
Not a great hit rate. Matt Barkley, John David Booty would be the USC. So they're the number 1. Florida State would be number 3. Jameis Winston, Christian Ponder. Man, these quarterbacks. What are
they're
they
bad.
EJ Manuel, Chris Winkie, who was Heisman Trophy winner. I didn't get to him.
Well, that's not fair, though. He was 38 years old playing against college kids.
Exactly. He did. He looked worse than me.
He was like 27, wasn't he?
He was. Baseball, older. Former baseball player is what it is. Oregon would be number 4. Fresno State with the Carr brothers, Derek and David, and then Billy Volek was there. Remember him, Jeff? Were you there for Billy?
Was he a Patriot?
I'm trying to think. I think at some time he made a swim through there. But
he had a clipboard for who?
But, yeah, exactly. But number 6, we talked about Auburn, Cam Newton, Jason Campbell, Jarrett Stidham.
Oh, yeah.
Cal with number 7 would be Jared Goff, Kyle Bowler, Aaron Rodgers, Davis Webb, Stanford number 8, Andrew Luck, Trent Edwards, boy, a bunch of blacksmith quarterbacks here, Chad Hutchinson, Randy Fasani, Kevin Hogan, Todd Husick.
Can we get Texas Tech to get credit for all the guys that transferred away from
them
and went to the league?
They should, but the University of Texas is number nine with Vince Young, Colt McCoy, Chris Sims, and then North Carolina State rounds out the top 10 with Phillip Rivers,
Jacoby,
Mike Glennon, Jacoby Brissett, and Ryan Finley.
Nice.
That's a nice little interesting little article there. I would be curious, though, of the high schools that not this. The state that had the high school kids that went to the pros. I would think Texas would be
number
one.
Oh, we always talk
one.
About Texas is always putting these kids into
yeah,
the game.
Yeah, they
now.
May not have went to college in the state of Texas, but they went to high school in the state or in the state of Texas, and they're like in the NFL.
I'll tell you what, though. There's some straps. You know, there's some quarterbacks on this list that I'm like going, whoa.
Straps?
Well, just guys, hanger-oners, you know. I see an Oregon at number four, hey, Joey Harrington. He's my albatross. I wear that guy. That was my guy that I'm like, oh, no, this is the next one. This is the chosen one. Yeah, that's the reason you get fired is because you got guys like Joey Harrington.
Here's Chris Arnold with third down.
Speaking of quarterbacks, you know, the NFLPA told the quarterbacks, hey, guys, in fact, all the players, hey, guys, you got to stop these group workouts right now. You know, COVID-19 is going on.
Not my team.
I know you're trying to get ready for training camp, but just stop these group. Tom Brady said, yeah, right. Russell Wilson said, yeah, right. Matthew Stafford said, yeah, right. Well, Jeff, you need to go back to your high school stadium because that's that's where the party's going on, man.
Oh, I'm not allowed.
We knew this.
Kyler Murray, man.
Yeah, I'm banned from there.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
What happened?
Took a swing at a coach.
I didn't take a swing at a coach. I quit football my senior year because we had a new coaching staff.
You're like that corner at Washington Peters.
They saw me drinking beer and smoking a cigarette on my way to practice, and so I was the starting X receiver. And when I showed up to practice, the new coaches who had seen that were like, go over with the safeties. And I was like, yeah, right.
Oh, man.
And he was like, no, seriously, go over with the safeties. So they just wanted to teach me a lesson or whatever. Uh-huh. And instead of learning that lesson and absorbing it, I told him that I was no longer going to play football. How about that?
Did you use choice words?
And then I left. And
so you're basically banned from Allen High School Stadium?
Yeah, so then I went to Abilene Christian.
Right.
And I came back in between semesters, and my buddy JT, who was playing at West Virginia at the time, was like, hey, I'm going up to the facility to work out, and you want to come? And I was like, yeah, sure. And so I went up there, and we'd been in the weight room for about 4 minutes, and one of the coaches came down, and they went, Kavanaugh? And I went, yeah. And he goes, you ain't welcome here.
Oh, wow.
And I went, oh, okay. And so I left, and that was the last time I was there.
Well, you got to go back now that you're on the radio, because they might forgive now. And you also got to go back, because this is the show you're missing. At Allen's High School Stadium, they've been putting this on social media. Kyler's been putting on a show with DeAndre Hopkins. This is the first time he's been working out with him. He's not the only one there. He's got Christian Kirk there, Dan Arnold, Chase Edmonds, Kenyon Drake, Max Williams, Trent Sherfield, Drew Anderson, Brent Hundley, Eno Benjamin, they've all been there hanging out. And, of course, Kyler's footing the bill. But they're putting on a show. So if you can sneak over to Allen, you got some football action for your summertime eyes.
If anybody's out there and has an in with Coach Westerberg, could you ask him if I'm forgiven yet? If I can come hang out?
You're kind of like Reggie Bush.
Right.
My
10-year ban is easily up.
Is it up?
Easily up.
All right, you're back. Yeah. Come on back, Jeff. We want you back.
It's around the NFL every day at this time. Coming up next, we'll visit with the great David Hellman from DallasCowboys.com. He's always a fascinating interview for you right here in the Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.